You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With Newsroom's Mark Delder this morning. Kia ora, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I don't even know where to start at the moment every time we talk political commentary. There's a new headline every day that seems to be quite radical or shocking, but there's plenty to talk about, that's for sure. Let's chat Shane Jones to kick us into gear, I guess. Resource Management Amendment Bill. What is this? That's a big, long list of words. What's Shane Jones actually proposing with this, Mark?
Yeah, so Shane Jones has announced that he wants to make it basically easier to consent coal mines. There are apparently things in the current Resource Management Act, which kind of directs what we can build and do while considering, you know, environmental impacts, that mean that coal mining is treated differently from other forms of mining. So he wants, he says, just to standardize those, and he'll do it in the form of a bill to amend the Resource Management Act. There are a few other changes as well that the government's likely to put into this bill that haven't been announced yet. Things about making it easier to consent potentially renewable electricity and a few other things that they campaigned on but are probably still working out the policy details.
So this is, I mean, is it as bad as it sounds? It's a pretty draconian sounding thing that we're moving to make very accessible here in New Zealand.
Yeah, I think The bigger problem is less the Resource Management Act specifically and more the government's fast-track bill. These changes around coal mining that Shane Jones has proposed, they would still be under the overall kind of remit of the act.
Mm-hmm.
But the fast-track bill that the government is currently, you know, has before Parliament that people can submit on now, proposes to allow ministers basically unilateral decision making on projects.
Hmm.
So, sure, Shane Jones can make it easier to consent to coal mine under the RMA, but he also, under the fast track bill, can just say yes to any coal mine that comes along asking for it.
So the fast track consents bill, I think people can submit on that until tomorrow is the last day to do that. How effective is a submission? What does a submission actually do, Mark? If you send in a submission, what's kind of the process for that?
Yeah, so a submission goes to the Select Committee, which is a small group of MPs who are going to take into account all the submissions, look at the legislation, and figure out whether they want to, you know, make any changes to the bill that has been introduced by the government. So MPs will have to read your submission. You can also say that you might want to present your submission to the Select Committee, and often that means you'd get a chance to, either in person or over video call, you know, talk more about the reasons that you support a bill or are concerned about it or particular issues you have with it or what have you. To some extent, you know, the way that Parliament works is that the government has the numbers to pass whatever legislation it wants, but large submission campaigns can be signs of public sentiment on an issue, and sometimes for a government that, you know, it might be concerned about its political image or political reputation, that could be enough to shift the needle in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a very, I think, tense time with this particular discussion. Media is also having a rough time. We've been talking about it on and off for the last few weeks, but we've seen a new update this week. News Hub, of course, has formally announced its closure. But Warner Brothers has struck a deal with Stuff. Stuff will be taking over some sort of 6 p.m. news bulletin. What's your opinion on this one? As a journalist yourself as well, Mark, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably good to have, you know, choice for your 6 p.m. news bulletin, not just having TVNZ be the only offering. On the other hand, it doesn't sound like, from what we know so far, that this will be, you know, anything like what News Hub is now in terms of generating news stories, breaking scoops. You know, if you think about the stuff that News Hub journalists have done just in the election period alone, you know, they're very, very good at what they do. And I think that that element will probably still be missing. This will be much more like, you know, here are the kind of headlines from the day type product.
And this is, you know, still posing the question of what is going to happen in this space. We've seen a lot of criticism of Melissa Lee as the minister in charge of broadcasting and media in New Zealand, sort sort of been missing in action over the last couple of months where this has been rolling out. What do you think we need to see from the government, and what do you think we will see from the government on this?
Yeah, in terms of what we need to see, without getting into specifics, because I don't really have a thought on or an opinion on what specific method would be best, there does need to be some sort of, I think, government acknowledgement that media as a sector is different from other industries because it performs an important sort of democratic accountability function, and means it might need support differently from other sectors. It doesn't have to be direct government funding or subsidies, but there needs to be, you know, a recognition that this isn't just any other industry or any other business.
What do you think we will see, though? Is that something that we will get some movement from this government, do you reckon?
I think that the closure of News Hub has moved the dial for the government in terms of, there was a bill before Select Committee when the government came to power around basically requiring big tech companies to negotiate with media companies and pay them for some of the links that they kind of put on their platforms and that sort of thing. The government was kind of quite negative about this bill. Now they're being a little bit more circumspect, so potentially something like that might come through and be supported now. But again, I also don't know exactly how the new stuff Warner Bros. Deal that we were talking about might change that picture. Maybe the government says, oh, the problem has solved itself. It certainly hasn't, but maybe this is gives the government an excuse not to act.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. Let's talk about this tunnel in Wellington that's been hitting headlines this week. A proposal from the government to build a sort of a bypass that would, I think it's about 4 kilometres long, shaves 15 minutes off your drive from Kilburnie to the airport. And it's going to be very, very, very expensive. It's been very heavily criticised by the opposition and by a lot of transport authorities as being quite a large waste of money, is a phrase that's been bandied around at the moment, especially when put into relief with some of the transport projects that have been iced recently, like the ferry crossing. What is your thoughts around this? Is it something that we need? Why is the government focusing on it? What's your hot take about this tunnel, Mark?
Yeah, just a very slight correction for the Wellington audience. It would be 15 minutes shorter from the CBD or the terrace out to the airport.
Oh, yes, sorry. Thank you.
No, that's okay. You're in Auckland.
I am indeed.
It's totally fair enough. I feel the same way when I talk or write about Auckland transport projects. Yeah, I think it's an idea that has been suggested before. It was looked at in the early 2000s and scrapped at that stage because it was just viewed to be too costly. The costs will only have gone up since then. Thomas Nash, the transport councillor on the Greater Wellington Regional Council, thinks it would cost about $10 billion, which is a lot of money, of course. The problem the government is trying to solve here is particularly around the Basin Reserve in Wellington, mm-hmm. which kind of bottlenecks all the traffic that's going out to the southern suburbs and to the airport. And so it's a very built-up area around there. It's not like there's an easy kind of bit of undeveloped lands that you could just run an extra motorway over. That's why we have all this discussion around a second tunnel under Mount Victoria and so on. So there's not an easy answer here. Probably does need to be something done because these issues are getting worse and worse over time in terms of congestion and bottlenecking and so on. But it's not clear that maybe pulling the biggest possible project you can think of out of the hat and saying this is the one we'll do is necessarily the best solution for the problem.
Yeah. It is going to be very fascinating to see how that ends up landing. Mark, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate helping us wade through some of the headlines of the last couple of weeks. As we just mentioned, fast-track consenting, you can submit on that until tomorrow and including tomorrow. So if you have got strong thoughts, you should do that. Thank you very much, Mark. Have a good morning. We will see you later on.
Thanks so much for having me.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.